Coming up on Locked On Nets, Josh Bass takes you through the Nets' big win against the Charlotte Hornets. Some takeaways on who should be cut once Wilson Chandler suspension is done, and previews the game coming up against the Denver Nuggets next on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another episode of the Locked On Nets podcast. I am your host, Josh Bass. Of course, my co-host, Marcus Barahal, is still in Europe, probably doing some scouting for just checking out the local pickup game, seeing if he can find, where's he going? He was in Vienna trying to find the next Jakob Poeltl. Greece, obviously looking for the next Giannis, or we'll even settle for a Nick Kalathis. And who are the good Dutch basketball players? Dan Gazarich, former Net. I think he's really the only one off the top of my head that I can remember has even played in the pros. But yeah, maybe he'll try to find the next Dan Gazarich in Amsterdam. But of course, if you want to follow his adventures, you can follow him on Twitter at Marcus Barahal. I'm at JMBass_, and the podcast is at Locked On Nets. A couple really good wins for the Nets over the last few days. We won't talk as much about the Hawks game because at this point it's kind of old news, but obviously Garrett Temple did have an excellent game there, 27 points, really just showing off every aspect of his skill set. And Jared Allen and Torian Prince had nice games as well, in a game where Spencer Dinwiddie struggled a bit from the three-point line and with turnovers as well, able to get past an excellent performance from Trae Young and also guys like Damian Jones and Cam Reddish doing some damage. And also my boy Alex Len, shout out to the Maryland Terrapins over there. But quickly on Temple, I mean, his scoring, the way he did it, he was just, you could tell how confident he is in this offense, and one where he's sharing the ball with a lot of other guys. And at this point, it's not like on all of his other teams, he's been someone who has been a nice role player. But now it's more so he's an integral part of the team, and especially with Spencer in for Kyrie Irving, and when Temple plays with the second unit, everyone it just seems very confident right now. And some of the shots he was hitting, I mean, yes, he was hitting his regular catch-and-shoot threes. He was hitting threes where he was relocating after one dribble, taking a sidestep and hitting a three, which is a very difficult shot to master. He had a few plays where he was finishing as the pick-and-roll ball handler, including one nice floater bank shot that he had late in the fourth quarter. He was just doing it all, and it's great to see that with this Nets team, in games where, let's say, Spencer doesn't have an insane game like he has against Boston and Miami, they can still be really competitive and beat teams they should beat, like an Atlanta and a Charlotte, because guys like Torian Prince, Joe Harris, Garrett Temple, obviously David Nwaba, are able to step up. So just what Kenny's doing with this team right now, and given kind of the, I wouldn't say dearth of talent, but the run that they've been on, even though they're not being the greatest teams, besides that really nice one against Boston, obviously they blew that game against Miami, but going 8-3 in any stretch is definitely something to be proud of. And I think Kenny has done a great job over these last 11 games, considering that he got some slack at the start of the season. So the Nets obviously beat the Charlotte Hornets last night, 111-104 on the road. So they're 12-10 now, nicely entrenched as the 7th seed in the East, even though Orlando has actually been pretty decent without Vucevic. They've won 4 in a row and are hot on the Nets' tail. But after that, you have a bunch of teams that are disappointing. People thought the Bulls could be okay. They've been terrible. People were picking the Hawks to potentially make the playoffs and run as an 8th seed. They have been awful, and obviously a lot of that comes down to John Collins getting suspended. And the Pistons have been disappointing. So the Nets are in a pretty good spot right now. And their defense has quietly been pretty good. They're up to 17th in the NBA in defensive rating and 17th in offensive rating. And both of those, when you consider their personnel, are pretty solid. I think hopefully you have to hope that once Kyrie comes back and over a full season, they can maybe get to like 12th in offensive rating. I feel like that would be great, especially as they integrate more and more guys and maybe climb up a spot or two to 15th in defensive rating. But overall, given kind of that you have Kyrie and Spencer who are, Spencer has the talent to do so, and I think Kyrie is very fast hands, but overall not good defenders. And then you just have a small group of wings that really struggle to stop some of the top guys in the league, those top wing scorers. I think kind of 15th is really the maximum amount of talent defensively that you can be with this team. And obviously when KD comes back next year, that kind of changes the whole calculus of the things, and they could definitely be a top 10 or 12 defense. But right now, I think 15th would be a really good goal to get to. And obviously, even if they still stay at 17th in defensive rating, that would be awesome as well. And then definitely expect them to keep climbing up in offensive rating. But, you know, last night was a good win. The Nets being able to get a win when Spencer Dinwiddie has a really poor game offensively was awesome. You know, he hit a couple pull-up threes, difficult shots, but for the most part, he wasn't really looking to attack as much as normal, and four free throw attempts for him is definitely a down performance. But, you know, I thought Torian Prince had a good game. Obviously, Joe Harris was awesome, 6-8 from three. Nwaba had some good minutes. And then DeAndre Jordan in the second half was dominant. You know, puts up 16 and 13 and two block shots. But what he was able to do against Cody Zeller, who did punk him in the first half, he punked him and Jarrett Allen and ended up having a really nice offensive game. But Jordan was really doing everything, I think changed a lot of the momentum for the Nets. Obviously, what he was doing with the kind of Tyson Chandler tap out, where he had a bunch of offensive rebounds, and actually one where he tapped it out so far that it went over the head of the Nets player and went out of bounds. So he was doing really well on the offensive glass, just dominant in the late third quarter, with some dunks inside and drawing a nice foul, and then had a really good tip-in with 2 minutes left in the fourth, which extended the Nets' lead from 7-9, and at that point it was basically over. And also finished two alley-oops from Dinwiddie, so Dinwiddie consistently proving me wrong again by saying when I said that he was an abysmal alley-oop passer, add another two to the count. We should probably actually keep track of going forward the rest of the year how many successful alley-oops he's had and kind of his ratio there, because he definitely has gotten a lot better since I showed him. And these were not like gimme passes. These were a lot of ones where a lot of timing had to be involved. And I think a lot of that comes down to that, hey, he's getting much more comfortable with Jarrett Allen and DeAndre Jordan, of course, Jordan being his first season on the team. And Allen, given that he was the starting center last year, and obviously him and Dinwiddie played a good amount together, but Dinwiddie was more so playing alongside Ed Davis versus Allen. So they've really been developing their chemistry. So that's been awesome to see. And also, I thought Jarrett Allen had a nice game. I mean, comes out right away, getting two weak side shot blocks, really looks very comfortable there. And I think he's been playing well. And also, you know, on the offensive end, did what he needed to do. 7 of 10 from the field, had a couple of nice dunks, going up very strong with authority. So if there is someone there to contest, he can get fouled, even though it didn't happen this game. So he's definitely taken a nice leap. I thought Torian Prince played well. Joe Harris, of course, draining threes. But Prince was really in control, had a couple nice passes, which is something that we've been talking about, that he has tunnel vision. But when he's actually looking to pass, he can make the dish. So 9 shots for him. That's kind of the range I'd like to see, where he can still be very efficient and keeps the ball moving on offense and ensures the team gets the best shot possible. And obviously, two guys that didn't shine as much and really haven't the entire season, Musa and Pinson. I know they just get flamed constantly by every Nets fan and person in the Nets kind of Twitter sphere. Pinson went 1 of 9 from the field last night. Two of those were end of quarter heaves, so kind of remove those, but still 1 of 7, 0 of 2 from three. The guy just can't make any shots. So given that he is 24, I mean, I think this is kind of it for him. We're going to talk about this when we get into Nwaba's play, but obviously the Nets have a big decision coming up when Wilson Chandler's suspension ends after another 3 games, and either deciding, hey, are you going to bring him onto the team, cut him? But if you do bring him on, whose spot is he going to take on the roster? Because the Nets have a very full roster right now. Musa overall has been just as bad as Pinson. Another terrible 0-for-3 from the field today. So much confidence. He just will get the ball and start backing it out so he can ISO and build up ahead of steam going left. And he just seems so out of control when he goes to the basket. Also fouled someone in the act shooting 3. And the Nets did that a bunch last night, which is unfortunate, but they did get kind of just enough to win there. But I think Musa, you know, he's 20 years old. He's a first round pick just last year. You still want to see what he has. He definitely has at least some pedigree going back to his time in Europe, so it might make sense to give him more of a chance. He was a solid player for the Nets in the G League last year, where he was really able to use up a lot of volume and shoot the ball relatively efficiently, so maybe there is something there. But obviously, for a player like him that doesn't have that athleticism, and really ability to finish and just going up against NBA athletes versus G League, he might be the type of player kind of similar to what you would call like a quadruple A player in baseball, where someone who can be a good guy against lower level competition, but when that step up to NBA athleticism, ability to jump, pure size happens, that speed of the game might just be too much for him. He's never going to be able to play effectively against that type of defense. But still, he's very young. He does not have a ton of experience. So you have to kind of play it out with him and I think give him a bit more time to develop. A guy that people were saying that was probably going to be cut a few games ago, my boy David Nwaba. He would have been the most likely candidate to go upon Chandler's return, but he's been playing too well and had such a good game against Charlotte. 13 points for him on 5 of 9 shooting from the field, knocks down two catch-and-shoot threes, and he's looked very confident taking that, even though his form isn't picture-perfect. I mean, some of the plays he makes was just insane. There was one play where DeAndre Jordan had the ball at the top of the key, Nwaba was cutting, DJ throws an accurate pass, but one that's very hard, and Nwaba makes an insane catch on the pass and is able to finish the layup on the cut. And those types of plays, you know, he's someone that's going to look really good playing with better talent where he can just cut, not needing to do so much. So I think even though he's playing right now really well, I think he'll actually play better when he plays with better guys like a Kyrie Irving, a Karis, more time with Spencer rather than Shumpert, Musar, Pinson, because he's someone that needs other guys to set him up. And if they are, if they're diming him up, he can really finish and really cut and knows how to get into space. So I think he's someone that the Nets need to keep right now, just given his energy and activity levels. I don't think there's any reason why they should cut Nwaba. I think you should cut Pinson. There's also an argument saying, hey, listen, Wilson Chandler is definitely better than Theo Pinson, or maybe I should call him Theophilus Pinson, based on some probably the most interesting tidbit I've ever heard on the Nets broadcast last night when they said that Theo Pinson's real name is Theophilus. Why doesn't he go by Phil? I love Phil Pinson. You get the alliteration in there. I think that would be a cool name, but obviously Theo Pinson is also a sick name. That's not the problem with his game. It's more so his ability on the court. But you look at Wilson Chandler, and yes, the Nets do kind of need a bigger wing, and Chandler has that. He's 6'8". He's strong. He can move his feet okay at times. Defense has never really been his calling card. He was more so a scorer back when he was on the Knicks and with Denver. I think he's committed a little bit more to defense recently, given that he knows that that's really where his bread would be buttered, because he's not going to be a focal point on anyone's offense at this point. But it's not like he's going to be some great offensive player. He's an okay three-point shooter, nothing special. He can be a good one-on-one scorer, but that's not really what the Nets need right now. And I would be fine cutting him, basically saying, hey, listen, is Wilson Chandler going to come in this year and make any impact? Probably not. And next year, when you have KD, that need for a big wing is obviously going to be alleviated, and he'll be a superstar wing, so much better than a Wilson Chandler type. But you also have to figure that, hey, whatever's going on with Rhodey Kurucs, if the situation does get cleared up with him in the assault case and all of his legal issues, he was someone last year that could fill that role as a big wing that could kind of do a little bit of everything, was a very active and defender and someone that has a lot of potential long term. So even though this year has been an absolute nightmare for him, and obviously he brought that on himself with all the allegations and just everything that happened there, he's someone that, as a basketball player, I'm still pretty bullish on long term. I think he could be a really good Swiss Army knife type player for the Nets. So you don't need a guy like Wilson Chandler, especially guys like Nwaba can play bigger. So if you say, hey, Theo Pinson's just so great for our culture and we love the dancing and we just need him there and we still think we can develop him a little bit more, I might disagree, but I think it's still a reasonable case to keep him. So I think right now it's between just saying, hey, Chandler, wish you the best, but we're going to let you go, or Theo Pinson, maybe releasing him and then signing him to a two-way and saying maybe you get rid of a guy like Henry Ellenson if you're not seeing it from him. So there's definitely ways to be creative if they want to keep Pinson in the Nets organization, but I just don't think he's someone that needs to be on the roster, and that's probably where I'd lean. So bringing Chandler back and cutting Theo, but can definitely see it the other way as well if that's the decision that Sean Marks and his team and Kenny decide to make. Some Charlotte takeaways, you know, I think I'm not sure how I feel about James Borrego, because when you look at this Hornets team, they're not terrible. And obviously, a lot of that's considering the leap that Devontae Graham has taken this year. And I think, you know, if Pascal Siakam doesn't win Most Improved this year, Graham should win it in a runaway, because the leap he has taken to being such a dangerous scorer who can shoot from three with a ton of volume, get fouled and go to the line and knock his free throws down, and also being able to open up passing options and lanes with his ability to score has been remarkable for a second round pick. And this is a guy that at Kansas, you know, was thought to be the number two behind Frank Mason. And to see what he's done in his second year, shooting 9 threes a game and 42% of those knocking down, it's been awesome. He's been better than Terry Rozier. So you have to give Borrego a lot of credit there. But they have guys with some talent. You know, Miles Bridges is someone that I really, really liked at Michigan State and coming out of the draft. And I feel like he's just being used as a spot-up three-point shooter, and he's so much more than that. He's a dynamic athlete. They need to let him slash more, give him freedom to crash the offensive boards, try to post him up against smaller guys. I feel like if you look at the Charlotte team, you'd think Bridges would be one of those pieces that they can really build around and try to accentuate his skill set, and that's not what they're doing at all. Their ownership definitely isn't great, and maybe they're being a bit impatient and just say, hey, maybe we'll try to get rid of Bridges. It's someone that most teams should definitely go after and someone that I'm pretty high on. Also, Terry Rozier, he's shooting 42% from three this year, so he's definitely proved me wrong, and he's been a good three-point shooter the last couple seasons in Boston. It's more so that he's definitely a lot more of a ball hog than a Devontae Graham type, who's actually looking for his teammates, even though he is an excellent scorer. So looking ahead to the next game, the Nets are going to play the Denver Nuggets tomorrow. They played the Nuggets in November and lost. That was one of the games where Caris LeVert had just gotten hurt. And this is one of the ones where everyone hated Spencer Dinwiddie and wanted him gone right away. He was terrible in this game, 6 of 18 shooting. Denver's a team he should be able to do a lot of damage against, because he, you know, Spencer does great against teams where they don't really have that stout back line. And it's more so guys that can really be good athletes and go up with him and be vertical that he struggles against. And that's not Nikola Jokic. And Paul Millsap's very crafty, but he certainly lost a step. So I think he could have a rebound game and really do a nice job getting to the basket. The Nets are probably going to have to do a better job of stopping Jamal Murray in their game against them earlier this year. He was one of 11 from the field, and he's obviously a very talented player and a talented scorer. So he's up to 18 a game this year. His three-point shot has been very inconsistent. And remember, last year he went on a tear at the end of the year because he was started the year, couldn't hit the broad side of a barn from three, and ended up with 37% shooting. Denver is still a very difficult team to beat, even though they're 14-6. I feel like Jokic has gotten a lot of criticism, actually, for not being in shape and all that. But given Millsap's resurgence this year, they're still obviously a very difficult team to play against. So it'll be a big challenge for Jarrett Allen and DeAndre Jordan, but the Nets did beat them twice last year. The Nets got that second victory in a really high scoring affair. So we'll see what happens there, but you have to think Dinwiddie can have a really good game. But going up against such a talented team in Denver with a lot of really unique players like a Jokic who can just be an absolute game changer, the Nuggets are definitely the favorite there. But these Nets have certainly surprised us all year round, so it's pretty likely that they'll be able to do it again. So it's going to do that here for me today on Locked On Nets. The next time you'll be hearing us, Marcus will be back from his Europe excursion. He'll tell us all about it, all of the prospects that he watched and I'm sure sprinkled in while he was enjoying his vacation and time away. So please subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, we'll be there. Rate us, review us, follow us on Twitter, all the things that you know we would want you to do. And until next time, be well.